Well, today is a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad that you're joining us today. And I am praying for you today as you are perhaps driving up and down the highway. I'm praying that you'll be safe today. And I'm praying that God will speak to you today through this broadcast. We call this broadcast Hope for Your Heart. And the reason we call it Hope for Your Heart is because I have learned that there are so many people that have lost hope. You know, if you have no hope, you're not going to have that drive and determination to continue on. Without hope, you cannot continue on in the journey of being a Christ follower. So today we're looking at 1 Peter, and we're in chapter number 4, and we're going through a series called Game Changers. We're talking about things in our life that can change us drastically. And I love the book of 1 Peter. He talks about the fact that he's writing to the Christians who are being persecuted. And as I look at as American Christians, I think that one of the things that we need to work on is we need to develop a doctrine of suffering. In other words, we need to realize that suffering will come our way, and we must be prepared for that. Some of that suffering is going to come from persecution. Some of that suffering is going to come from people just not interested in receiving the gospel, and they're going to come against us because of that. Some of the suffering that we experience is because we're trying to live a righteous life in an unrighteous world. We're kind of like foreigners just passing through. So we're going to talk about pain, suffering. We're going to talk about the doctrine of suffering today on the broadcast. There's a disease, and it's a congenital disease, and it's called insensitivity to pain. Insensitivity to pain. There's a girl that has no pain, and her name is Ashlyn Blocker. And because she doesn't feel pain, she can hurt herself without realizing it. Without thinking, one day she reached her right hand to retrieve a spoon, and that spoon was then put under the oven heat, and she was burning her hand without even realizing it. She had white scars, and her mother finally had to stop her from doing it. And as you look at this, she doesn't have pain, so she can't respond to that pain. This rare mutation that she has in her DNA eventually is zeroing in, and it's called SCN98. SCN98, it's a pain-sensing nerve that our body has along the surface, and it goes to our brain, and it tells us when something is hot, when something is sharp. It sends these electrical signals to our brain. But in Ashley's case, things are not working. Although most people consider pain a bad thing, in her case, she wishes she could feel pain because not feeling that pain has caused a lot of hurt in her life. As we look at Hebrews chapter 12, and then we're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, we are told that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. These great cloud of witnesses are cheering us on. They are telling us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do we learn patience? We learn patience, as odd as this may sound, through suffering. This is how James talks about it. James chapter 5, verse number 10. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as examples of patience and suffering. We give them great honor because they endured under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy." Knowing the end, I think, would give us the patience to pursue regardless of what happens to us. We look at heroes as those who endure suffering, those who work through pain, not those who are overwhelmed by it. Job is considered a man of great endurance because he stuck in there even though everything was going against him. Here are some reminders of what suffering does for us. And I hope that you will make a mental note of these reminders. Number one is that when suffering comes, we ought not to be surprised by it. Let's not be surprised by it. Suffering is going to happen. It may be an unexpected attack. It may be something that you didn't plan on. It can take place anywhere. Let's not be surprised by it, but let's be made sanctified through it. because we're done with sin. So here's what Peter's thinking is when we go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Since Jesus suffered, the righteous for the unrighteous, we should also expect suffering as we strive to become more holy. So the point is this, we must prepare for it. We're not to be surprised by it. Most people love good surprises, but we really hate bad surprises. When it comes to suffering, don't be surprised by it. Let that form you. Let that make you holy. I find that those who have most suffered for their faith are not surprised by the suffering. What really surprises them is what followers of Christ who have received God's grace, why they so easily abandon Christ. That's what really surprises them. When you understand what God has given us, we have been given eternal life. We have been given the Holy Spirit living within us. There is nothing that can come against us that God won't empower us to drive through. In Galatians 1:6, Paul says, you know, I'm astonished that you so quickly are deserting him who calls you into the grace of Christ and turned to a different gospel. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, I'm not surprised by the high level of faith you have. He says, I'm really surprised that you so quickly desert Christ, the one who has given you everything that you need, and you turn to a different gospel. Some would say this may be a gospel of prosperity. This may be a gospel of good works, but it's a gospel that takes your center off Christ and onto something else. We should not be surprised by the suffering that comes our way. We're told in 1 Peter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to drop down to verse number 12. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, here we're given something very emphatic to do, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. In other words, there's this battle that is taking place. We must be ready for the affliction to come our way because that affliction is eradicating sin from our lives. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. We love that expression, no pain, no gain. And here we see that Peter is kind of driving home that point. If you don't have the pain of suffering, you won't experience the glory of having a life that is sanctified. If sin is no temptation, if we don't have the power to overcome that sin, then we don't have the glory of victory in defeating sin in our lives. Well, let's drop down to verse number 12. Peter says this, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at that fiery ordeal that has come to you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." He says, expect it. You're going in a different direction. Expect it. When you are playing a sport, you got to expect the competition to come against you fiercely. You got to expect them to be strong, prepared. You've got to expect them to come against you. That's what makes a champion. You can overcome those who are coming against you. Allow the suffering that comes your way to make you more conformed to God. Regardless of why you are suffering, turn it into the opportunity to become more like Christ. So here's my question for you today. How am I becoming more like Christ through my suffering? Is my suffering causing me to complain and whine, or is my suffering allowing me to be more like Christ? Well, here's the second thought that I want us to remember about suffering. Let's not be scared of it. Let's be secured through it. We're living for God. You know that fear leads to very bad decisions. If we're fearful of suffering and we're not anticipating it, we're not ready for it, when it comes, we'll be fear-filled and not faith-filled. So let's not be scared by the suffering. Let's be secured through it. Let's drop down to 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4. Peter says, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans chose to do." And then he gives us a list of what they chose to do. They were living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Don't be afraid of that suffering that comes, realizing that those who bring suffering upon you when you're living a righteous life, they're really kind of doing it out of a jealousy because they are stuck in their sin and they can't get out of it. And they want to entice you to live that same lifestyle with them because misery loves company and so doesn't sin. They are jealous that you have been set free from that power of sin, and you are secure, and you're not running in fear. The Lord gave Peter a lesson on security. In Matthew chapter 14, when Peter had come down out of the boat, you remember this story, Peter gets out of the boat, he walks on the water to Jesus, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. He began to sink, and he cried out and said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, and he caught him, and he said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" What am I afraid of when suffering comes my way? You know, one of the ways that we know that we're doing the right thing is by the reaction of those who live reckless, wild lives. We learn that those who live contrary to Christ and the Word are not satisfied to just live recklessly. They heap that abuse and they share that with others. There's a huge double standard that we see, but we know that this is true. Don't let it scare you. Be secure in Christ. Our security comes not from being suffering free, but from being free from sin through forgiveness. We have some friends that are missionaries and church planters in Nigeria. And last night in our small group, this family was brought up to our attention. And it was brought up to our attention so that we could pray for them and we could pray that God would bring about deliverance to them from all of the suffering and all of the persecution that they are going through. As we were discussing this, one of the members of the group says, "Well, you know, this person, Pastor Friday, doesn't really want us to pray that he will avoid the suffering, but he wants us to pray that the church will remain pure in times of suffering." Now, isn't that a different way of thinking about it? Many of us, when suffering comes our way, the first thing we cry out to God is, "Lord, will you deliver me from this suffering?" I want you to know that sometimes God puts us in suffering so that we can see a side of Him that we would not have seen before we went through that time of suffering. Sometimes God allows us to go through times of suffering because it refines us and it makes us more like Christ. Jesus said in John 5:13, "I'm not trying to please myself, but I'm trying to please the one who sent me." Jesus said, if I've suffered, you could expect that you're going to suffer as well. We are told as one of the Ten Commandments, and you're very familiar with this Ten Commandment, that we're not to have any other gods before me. Anything that you put before God can be an idol, whether it be a boat, whether it be a career, whether it be a girlfriend, whether it be golf, whether it be your favorite sport. It could even be somebody that you love. It can become an idol. Don't have any other gods before me. Sometimes God brings suffering into our lives to break us from these idols that we have placed before Him. And it's not an enjoyable experience to go through, but it refines us and it separates that dross or that sin out of our lives. Well, here's the third thing that we need to remember about suffering, and that is that we shouldn't be surprised by it. Let's be settled in it. Let's realize that it's going to happen, and we're not going to be surprised by it because God is the ultimate judge. In 1 Peter 4, 5, and 6, it says, "But they will give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit." As you look at this, pressure is going to come. Suffering is going to come. Let's not be suppressed by it, but let's be settled and realize that God is the ultimate judge. Sometimes suffering may come totally out of the blue. You didn't expect it. You weren't looking for it, and it may come your way. So the question is, how is my faith more settled through suffering? Well, in the last 10 minutes or so of the broadcast, I want to cover some things that I think will help you to accomplish what God wants to accomplish through you in times of suffering. So what should suffering accomplish in my life? Here's the purpose, or here's the outcome of what suffering should do to us. Number one, it should make us more prayerful. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober mind so that you may pray. You know, when we are going through times of suffering, it slows us down. So Peter reminds us, that was 1 Peter 4, 7, that we should be alert and sober of mind, and then we can pray. He says, when we're going through times of suffering, the end of all these things is near, and so it does this so it alerts us, it wakens us. So that is a perfect time to pray. The old adage, if I never had a problem, I could never knew that God could solve them. Sometimes God slows us down and says, listen, I want to get your attention because I want to commune with you. I'm going to allow a little bit of suffering to come into your life so that you will stop and you will actually pray. Here's the second thing about suffering. It also makes me more practical. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So when suffering comes our way, this ought to pull out of our lives what we truly and deeply love. It covers over a multitude of sins. I think that one way that we can look at that is that when we have suffering come into our lives, it tends to prioritize our lives, and it tends to allow us to look at things that really matter. You know, many years ago, I think that my perspective was off. I was off on some major things. For example, I was off on things of what a person should do as a follower of Christ. I had all these rules. If you were a follower of Christ, that you wouldn't have long hair. If you were a follower of Christ, you didn't go to the movies. If you were a follower of Christ, you didn't drink. If you were a follower of Christ, you didn't hang out with shady people. I had all these lists of things that what a follower of Christ should be doing. It was driven by rules, not a relationship. As I grew in my faith, I realized that God is much more interested in my heart, much more interested in a relationship with Him than He is these little things in our lives that we so many times have wrong perspectives on. Here's the third thing about suffering. It ought to make us more practical. It ought to make us more prayerful. But number three, it ought to make me more perceptive. 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You know, somebody who is in a lot of pain, they are praying really hard. A choice that is being made is not a very good choice sometimes, but when we go through pain, then it changes our perspective. It realigns what we think is important. I've seen a miracle of my heart change as it's going in the wrong direction, and then something happens, and pain happens, and all of a sudden, it changes the direction of my life. You know, we need a Savior, somebody who can rescue us. G.K. Chesterton said, meaningless comes not from being weary of pain, but from being weary of pleasure. In other words, he says, we so easily put our pleasure in the wrong place. Instead of receiving the pleasure of God in our times of pain, we seek an escape route to deal with that pleasure. One of the things that I do is and spend a lot of time with is men who battle addiction. And it amazes me when I think about men who battle addiction, and all of us have that propensity to be battling addiction. And I used to think, well, if somebody is an alcoholic, somebody is battling with drugs, and maybe if we just, you know, explain to them how much shame they should be experiencing, like asking, like, how could you do this to your family? How could you do this to your friends? Shame on you. You should know better. Shame never heals addiction. We are healed from our addiction when we discover the pain that is causing us to be addicted. You see, when we have this pain in our lives, we seek a substance that will alleviate that pain. And different people choose different drugs of choice. For some, it's alcohol and drugs. For some, it's sex. For some, it's eating. For some, it's just negative thinking. When you think about that pain that we have, if we can figure out what is causing the pain, then we can be delivered from addiction. That pain that we have is from brokenness. There is something in our lives that is broken. We are meaningless in our lives because we are looking at this pain and we want to be alleviating that pain, and so we do it in many different ways. When you look at Job's friends, for example, Job's friends wrongly applied some things. 7 days and seven nights, they silently mourned for the plight of Job. Eliphaz gets up and gives a little speech. He actually gives three speeches, and these speeches were not very much of a help to Job, and he kept repeating the same thing over and over again. He basically says, listen, Job, there's something wrong in your life. You better go ahead and confess it, and if you will confess it, you'll be set free from this pain. God is bringing this suffering upon you. God is not bringing suffering upon us always. Sometimes God is allowing suffering so we can be more conformed to His image, and He's building us in our character and making us stronger. Well, not only did Eliphaz say that to Job, but Bildad said the same thing. And Zophar was quite the character. He says, God knows the real you, and He knows that you're trying to hide something. All of these answers were wrong and provided no hope whatsoever for Job. Job needed a good word. Job needed somebody to speak into his life that could bring encouragement to him. You know, as you think about your life, maybe you're very discouraged today. Maybe suffering is coming your way. I want you to know that God can deliver you from that pain. He will sustain you at that time. There's so many times in my life where I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know what to do because I wasn't in God's Word. If I could encourage you with one thing to help you to navigate through times of suffering, it's to get into God's Word. Find a particular passage of Scripture that deals with the hurt that you are experiencing. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Well, why don't you memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13? There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will the temptation also provide a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. If you're feeling overcome today, God is going to provide a way of escape for you. Maybe today you're feeling the pressures of finances, and you feel like, I cannot make my financial ends meet together, and I am in trouble. I'm at the verge of bankruptcy. I want you to understand Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Maybe today you're suffering with sickness. You know, the Bible tells us in James chapter 5 that if we are sick, that we ought to call the elders of the church together and they ought to pray over you, anointing you with oil. Man, get somebody together. Get some of the elders of your church, the deacons of your church, the pastors of your church. Get them to anoint you and pray with you. And as you think about that whole process, James gives us a recipe for how that is done. He says that we look into our own hearts, and if there's sin in our own hearts, we confess that sin, and then we pray over people, and God can bring about healing. Maybe you're lacking wisdom, and you're saying, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know whether I should marry this person or not marry this person. I don't know whether I should take this job or not take this job. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And the New International Version says, and He shall make your paths straight. Oh, there's been so many times in my life where I had no idea which way to go. I was trying to figure it out in my little pea brain. I thought I had a solution that would be good. But I began praying. I said, Lord, I don't want to trust my own understanding. I want to trust You completely. And as I trust Him completely, not leaning on my own understanding, He made my path straight. God is not holding out on you. He wants you to know exactly the direction that your life should take. He has a divine purpose for you. He wants you to be delivered from the pain that you're going through, but He also wants you to be conformed to His image. He wants to develop character in our lives. And sometimes that is a painful process to go through as we develop our character to be more like Christ. It doesn't matter what you're going through today. I want you to know that you've got a God who loves you unconditionally. You've got a God that is not trying to hold answers from you. He wants to reveal them to you. Sometimes we can't hear the answers from God because of sins blocking in our lives. And maybe today the best thing for you to do is say, Lord, I want to confess the sins before You today. I want to be a clean vessel. Maybe you're not getting along well with your wife. Do you know that Peter tells us that when we are not getting along with our wives, it actually hinders our prayers? Our prayers may be bouncing off the ceiling because of the poor relationship that we have with our wives. Hey, why don't you go to your wife today and say, hey, honey, I'm sorry. I've been a real knucklehead. I'm just coming to you today to say, would you forgive me? And I'm going to try to be a better husband. After your wife falls off the chair when you tell her that, when she gets back up, you can pray together and your prayers will no longer be hindered. Maybe you haven't been committed to a local church. Maybe you thought the church is not necessary. Listen, I want you to get connected with a local church. We'd love to have you come visit us at Hickory Ridge Community Church Sunday morning at 9 or 11. We're at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake. You come on down. We'd love to share the love of Christ with you. We'll make you feel right at home. And if we're too far for you to drive, find a good Bible-believing church that you can go to this Sunday. We are blessed in the Greater Hampton Roads to have many good churches that you can go to and be part of. So I want to encourage you to be in church this Sunday. It will encourage your pastor. It will encourage your congregation, and you will walk away feeling charged up, and you'll walk away feeling much better than you walked in. You see, God has given us the church. Christ died for the church, and we need to be involved in the church. So I want to close our broadcast today with a word of prayer. And I'm going to pray that if you're going through a difficult time right now, a time of suffering, that you will be delivered from that suffering. And in the meantime, as you're going through it, that God will form your character. So Lord, we come today and we pray as boldly as we know how to pray. Your word tells us to enter into this prayer time with boldness, not arrogance. We come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, asking you to give us strength to go through difficult times and have wisdom as we go through hard times. And we just are trusting you for something great in our lives. And we pray this in the name of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org.